I ain't betting against that man from Akron, Ohio. I'm not betting against LeBron. If I'm Sam Darnold, I don't care how my career goes from here on. I could never smell the playoffs again. Doesn't matter. As soon as I touch down Carolina, I'm throwing a party. I decided to show a little bit of skin because we stricken, boys. We back. We live up in here. I don't want to hear no ifs, ands, or buts. This is my moment. What it do, baby? It's your boy Pride. Welcome to Pride's Prime Time, presented by Starter Pot Sports. We're live every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at 6. It's a Clover Crest Media Group production. The harder we work, the luckier we get. We're streaming live on StreamYard. And as you guys can see, I'm in some Boston Red. You feel me? So I'm excuse the energy. You feel me? I'm going to be on a very happy energy because we going places. We going places. So I'm going to start this very special All-NBA episode with some Ben. Oh, I'm sorry. We're going to rank the final four. Four teams we got left. We're going to rank them. Who has the best chance to win? That's basically how we're doing it. We're going to look at the roster top to bottom. We're going to see how they've also been playing. That's another thing. We also need to see how they've been playing. We'll see what's going to happen. So, obviously, the final four left is going to be the Suns, the Clippers, over in the West. And over in the East, we got the Hawks and the Bucks. Now, my list is going to be a little weird. It will be. But again, this is not just because of the talent. This also has to do with how you've been playing. So, number four, the team I have fourth best. I can't believe I'm saying this. The Milwaukee Bucks. Now, in terms of talent, yes, they have the talent. And I'm not going to take that from them. But this is a team who, frankly, doesn't know who they are now. Either they don't know or they're desperately trying to change. Look, this is a team that all regular season have been a team defense first. We're here for defense. We're going to shut you down. Our ideal game is a 103-98 game. If anyone goes over 100, it's us, and we barely go over it. We don't want anything too high scoring. And these playoffs, it's almost as if they're starting to forget that. They're trying to go toe-to-toe with these teams to act like we can outscore you, when in all actuality, your bread and butter is defense. Again, not to say that this team is bad, but okay, I'm going to put it to you this way. I'm 5'9", right? And I cannot jump over a credit card. On the court, you're not going to see me try to dunk on somebody. Why? I know myself. I know what I'm good at. I know what I can do. I know what I can bring to a team. This Bucks team is almost as if they're trying to redesign, rebuild, and reclaim their whole game plan when they shouldn't, because the game plan they had in place, defense first, is what's bringing them to where they are now. That's what's bringing it to them, period. Yeah, sure, they've had a couple games here and there where, oh, man, bro, you know, Chris Middleton and Giannis over in the next series, when they single-handedly carry that team, that's fine. Now, what about the other games? And that's kind of the problem the Bucks are having right now. Again, they're talented, but until they kind of check themselves and go, hey, yo, look, we're not this team that's going to go out and average 110. We're not going to go out there averaging 115. And as soon as they understand that, and as soon as they get that through their head, and they start playing like it, the Bucks will be running on all cylinders. But until then, they're going to put themselves in a very, very dangerous situation. Now, last night, they beat the Hawks. They're going on the right path. They reverted back to the, okay, we're going to lock down. We're going to play defense, and that's what we're going to do. So they're starting to revert back to what they do, which is good. I still got them at four because, again, every time they do that, the next game they come out and they all of a sudden want to act like, oh, yeah, we're a team that can drop 150 easy. So until they consistently do it, I'm going to have to leave them at four. But, again, this list is going to be very fluid. This is not the end-all, be-all. I'm talking about right here, right now. So right now, I got them four. Number three, the Clippers. We already know the deal with the Clippers. Look, they already don't have the best player, Kawhi Leonard, out. Already. So they're already going in with a massive disadvantage. They can't, you know, like it's gonna be difficult for them to overcome that, right? Not only are they down, because now they lost last night, right? Now with them losing 3-1. I'm gonna ask a question. If anyone believes it, let me know. If I'm bugging, let me know. Does this team really got it? Does this team really have the opportunity to come back with 3 more? Do they really? I'm asking for a friend. I mean, maybe if all of a sudden they switch everything up, maybe. Maybe I wouldn't bet on it. I think they have like 1 to 1,000 chance. And maybe that's just me being generous. You say I'm bugging, but I mean, think about it, bro. Like, the thing for me, right? This Clippers team is not. If you watch the Suns game, right? Every single crucial play that needs to be made, the Clippers just don't have it. Last night, there was like a stretch of like, I think about 4 minutes, where nobody scored. Nobody scored a bucket. I'm talking about neither the Clippers nor the Suns, right? Nobody scored a bucket. It was very sloppy basketball for a few minutes, right? The Clippers could not buy a three-point shot last night. And during that stretch, they continued to want to shoot threes. When my thing is, in the beginning of the game, they were shooting threes, not falling at all. Not at all. They then decided, okay, you know what? This is not working. Let's work the paint. They work the paint and they come back. And they come back to make it a competitive game. They were down double digits and then they come back. Now the game is closed. What did they decide to do? What did they decide to do? Oh, let's go back to shooting threes. Like, this team shoots themselves in the foot and then are shocked that they're bleeding. I've never in my life have seen something like that where, like, this team constantly shoots themselves in the foot. Then they look around and go, why am I hurt? Why can't I walk? Why am I limping? Why am I bleeding? Why am I losing consciousness? What's going on? I've never in my life have seen this before. Ever. During those crucial moments, this team just does not have it. It's crazy because it almost looks like as if in their minds, it don't matter about this play because the next play we're going to make a bucket. And it's okay to have that mentality sometimes. That's fine. You know, when you got that shooter's image, you just want to keep it, that's fine. But there's going to be times where you need to force a stop. So that way, you then can get the ball and then make the right play with it. Bringing the ball up, it's a close game. You got 15 seconds. There's like, you got 50 seconds on the shot clock, right? There's over a minute left. You're jacking up a three immediately when you're only down by two. That's not really helping you, especially considering the two guys have been struggling from the three-point line the whole game. The only reason I have them a step above the Bucks, only reason, is because at the bare minimum, at least this team will not put you in a situation where you're looking at them and you're like, yo, why are you doing that? What I mean by that is this Bucks team constantly wants to ignore defense. This Clippers team will pay attention somewhat to defense. They would. They'll pay attention to it. And they, for lack of a better term, they're more consistent. The only time they really drop the ball is during those clutch moments. Now, I know that sounds idiotic, and I get it. It kind of does to an extent. But the reason I'm going to put the Clippers on top is because I would rather have a dude, even with the injury, I'd rather have a guy who, yeah, we're down double digits. It was a team effort. Yeah, sure, this team can bring me back. They were down double digits, and they came back. The Bucks, when they were down double digits, almost looked like they gave up. When they lost game one to the Hawks, almost looked like they gave up when they were down double digits. Again, this is like I said, this is a very fluid list, and it's possible that all this stuff can change. But as of right now, I can't believe I'm saying this, and maybe I'm just saying this despite my producer JJ. But I honestly trust the Clippers a little more than I trust the Bucks right now. Maybe I'm just saying that despite him. Maybe when I was concocting this list, I had him in the back of my head, and I was like, what can I do to make him mad today? Maybe. That is a legitimate possibility. But I woke up today, and to me, I have a little bit more faith right now in the Clippers than I do the Bucks. I know it sounds weird. I know it sounds backwards. But at the bare minimum, I feel like the Clippers have a better chance if they go back to what they were. Julian with a comment. He says, with them coming back from double digits, do you think they could come back next game? Do I think so? Here's the thing. I believe they can because they did during the stretch, they did make crucial adjustments. They did. There were certain adjustments that they had made that brought them back into the game. And what I liked about it is they didn't rely solely on Paul George. And in their mind, they were like, look, Zubac played the most minutes of his entire career. Zubac was doing his thing. You had Reggie Jackson helping out. Pat Bev, Nicholas Batum. Everyone kind of did their thing, which was kind of what helped them because then they started focusing on mid-range and the paint. And now everyone's kind of contributing. If they come out like that, just a whole, look, I get it. You want Paul George to be your superstar. I get it. But if they come out with the whole thing where if Paul George gives us an efficient 20, Reggie Jackson gives us an efficient 25, if you go in with that mentality, I think this team can win, potentially win game 5. I really do. I think they can win game 5. I really do. For me, it's more along the lines of had they come out that same – if they, that mentality had in the middle of the game. If they came out with that in the beginning, I think they win. I genuinely do believe that they win game 4. And I don't think it's a 3-1. I think it's a 2-2. Especially considering a lot of the games that they've played have been close for the most part. They've been close. It's just a couple plays here and there that end up being the difference maker. So if the Clippers, all they really have to do, and again, they're down 3-1, but it's not that like they have to redesign everything. They're just very minuscule changes they need to do. And if they make those, they potentially could be back in it. It's a potential. But again, the faith I have in them, yeah, I have more faith in them than the Bucks. But that's kind of like me saying, oh yeah, I could pick up a feather compared to a hay straw. They're both still very, very light. So that's gonna be number 2. Now number 3. Can't believe I'm saying this, bro. I gotta put Atlanta. Oh, I'm sorry, number 2. I gotta put Atlanta. I don't know what's wrong with me. I don't know why I've been looking at this team. Look, obviously it all starts with Nate McMillan, right? Ever since Nate McMillan came and took over, he's been making sure these kids do what they need to do. He's telling them they're running sets. There's still a couple shots Trae Young is doing that's not smart. But a few more years, he'll eliminate those, right? Obviously, not only does it start with Nate McMillan, but this team just doesn't – they don't care who drops the buckets, which to me is something very telling of a team because if I don't care if John Collins averages 30, right? Let's say I'm the star, right? I don't care if John Collins drops 30. You're in a good place. You're in a situation where you have a guy who has the ball. You got a head coach who can control him. You guys are now – they're running legitimate plays. They're now actually doing – it's not just Trae Young shooting stupid three. Now they're running sets. They're having success with it, which now contributes to the defensive end. Look, this Hawks team shouldn't be here. Let's just call it what it is. This Hawks team should not be here. They shouldn't. There's no debate there at all. They should not be here. They should have been bounced at worst last round. At worst. I thought the Knicks were going to beat them. I thought it was going to be a 7-game series. I thought the Knicks were going to beat them. Nope, they didn't want to, which is fine. Then when they beat the 76ers, I started looking at them different. I was like, maybe this is not just a team that just got lucky. You know, because a lot of people say that. A lot of people are like, oh, my God, they just got lucky. And it's like, at what point can you continue to call this run lucky? There's got to be a point where you got to look at it and go, okay, you know what? I'm not just going to strictly call it luck because not only are they're playing well, they're playing smart, and when it comes to those plays that they need to make, they make them most of the time. They make them. So it's like I can't continue to call this run lucky. If I'm doing that, I'm now being disingenuous to not only the Hawks but sports in general. I can't do that. You know, like if And I want to say, oh yeah, maybe they got away from the 76ers by luck. If you want to say that, I mean, again, I feel like that's a reach, but go ahead. But when they came out game one and they asserted their authority, now that's kind of putting them in a position where, okay, maybe it's possible that they've been kind of legit. Not enough to be like, oh my God, the world beat them. But within these four teams, the Hawks have to be considered legit. They have to be. Like, you know, again, I'm not saying that, like, next year that they're all of a sudden going to be a number one seed. I'm not going that far. But if you're looking at this Hawks team and you're comparing it to all four, there's no way you're going to tell me that this team just doesn't have it. You can't tell me that, you know? So I like them. They're very energetic. I do like Lou Will coming off the bench. I like him kind of giving them that element, because now let's say Trae Young's tired. Let's say Trae Young's tired, right? Now you have a guy like Lou Will who's a bona fide spark plug. Like, his thing is, I'm coming off the bench, I'm hitting buckets, and that's it. Like, that's my job. And I do like him coming off the bench for them, because now, let's say their offense is getting clogged up. You can either have Trae Young start shooting shots, which, again, some of his shots sometimes are questionable, or you can have a vet like Lou Will shoot his shot, which he understands, okay, I know when I'm going to be open. I've been in the game long enough to understand, if I get to this spot, I'm money. If I do this move, hopefully I have enough space. So, I mean, with all that being said, granted, I do think this – I have them number two, not really because of the talent on their team. If you notice what I said, I was like, there's some talent involved, but this is mostly a list based on how they have played in the playoff. That's basically what I'm also going to go off of. Because in terms of talent, you could make a case that this is probably the fourth best team of all the teams remaining. But how they've been playing, they haven't been playing like that. They've been playing, frankly, like they're trying to make a run at, we're legitimate contenders. Like, in their minds, with this run, if they win the finals, you can't really disrespect this finals run for them. Because, yeah, in the beginning of the season, it was bad. They turned it around, and now all of a sudden, they're in the Eastern Conference Finals. You know, this, I definitely do like this team. If they end up winning, I'm not going to discount it. I'm not going to go, oh, it was just luck. Nah, because there's no way you can get that lucky. There's just no way you can get that lucky. And number one, obviously, there's just no debate here, brother, Phoenix Suns. I mean, really, was there a debate? I mean, was there really any other team that could have been number one? The Phoenix Suns, I'm going to say this right now. Give this man three more years and DeAndre Ayton will be the best big man in basketball. In 2 to 3 years, he's going to be the best big man in basketball. I said it, I meant it, and I believe it. Devin Booker will go down better than Kobe Bean Bryant. I said it, I believe it. This team right now, not only do they have what I would say, one of the best teams top to bottom, but they have a superstar, and yes, Devin Booker's a superstar. If you don't think he's a superstar, basketball's not in your wheelhouse. You have a superstar who has no problem with someone else being the primary ball handler. Let that sink in. I'm going to say that one more time. You have a superstar who says, if you want to give me the ball, great. If you don't want to give it to me, that's fine too. Do you know how great that must feel for everybody else? Because now that Devin Booker isn't taking 101 shots, right? So now that gives DeAndre Ayton more shots. Every single time you see CP, last night, whenever you saw Chris Paul dunk the ball over DeAndre Ayton, and every time he scored, I don't know who was his biggest supporter might have been Devin Booker. Might have been Devin Booker. Maybe. I mean, maybe his mom, but I'm pretty sure it was Devin Booker. Every single time he gets the ball, you can see Devin Booker like, oh yeah, this is a bucket. This is a bucket. Now, when you have your superstar, again, Devin Booker's not a superstar, and if he's not, you know, if you don't look at him as a superstar, let me know. I will buy you glasses. Then after that, you will apologize to the man because he's a superstar. Point blank, period. It's always hot in Phoenix, but the blood in his veins, that's ice cold, bro. The kid is legit. But when you have him, a guy that caliber, and you see him not only willing, but at times encouraging other guys to shoot, that just makes everybody click that much better. Top to bottom, this team is great. And again, this is not even with the addition. I'm not even bringing up Chris Paul. For anyone who doesn't understand the Chris Paul effect, go look it up. That's a legitimate thing. Every time we always go, oh yeah, Evil Eye Bron, you know what I mean? Or Mass Kyrie. Go look up the Chris Paul effect, right? This is something that's serious. Every single time Chris Paul shows up somewhere, he somehow, well, not, I don't want to say somehow, because I feel like that's kind of being disingenuous, because he's one of the, for me, he's a top five point guard right now, period. I don't care what anybody says. He wins a ring, low-key, I might put him up to three. This, I mean, you know, Chris Paul comes, and wherever he goes, they win. The percentages go up. Even in Houston, when he went to Houston, we didn't think, oh, yeah, it wouldn't matter. Their percentage still went up. Chris Paul, look it up. That junk is real. I'm telling you, that's real. This Suns team, I like them. And the reason I have them number one, not only do they have all the talent in the world, not only do you have a team that, yo, you can get your buckets literally from anybody, even Cameron Payne. I hate him with a passion. What I really like about this team, when you need a play, they make it. You need a clutch three, boom, we got it. You need free throws, forget Paul George, bro. Devin Booker's your guy. Chris Paul's your guy. DeAndre Ayton's your guy. It's almost as if any play needs to be made, they got it. They do it, no problem. And to me, right now, if I'm a betting man, if they played against a healthy Lakers team, I thought the Lakers would have won. Watching how they're playing, I don't know if this Laker, if a healthy Lakers squad would have beaten the Suns squad. I don't know. Because of the way they're playing, the way that any guy on that bench can get you a bucket. You got Chris Paul directing everything, and obviously he's an extension of Monty on the floor or their head coach. He's an extension of him. And the fact when he tells them to do something, they do it. Fluidity. It's amazing. To me, it's amazing, bro. Honestly, this Suns, I hope they win. I really do. And again, I want to see Chris Paul finally get a ring. He's been chasing it forever. I hope he gets it. I really do. So, again, that's my four. That's my four. I have four. I got the Bucks. I get it. Sounds wild. Just wait a few more games. We'll revisit this. Right now, it's going to be the Bucks at four. Number three, we'll have to put the Clippers at two, the Hawks. One, I got the Suns. And look, if you want to switch up two through four, I don't mind at all. I'm not going to fight you. I will fight you if you're going to take the Suns out of one. Like, because all the odds maker are talking about the Bucks. I'm like, look, bro. Don't do that. But we're going to move on because we're talking about all the basketball. We're going to keep it rolling because my man, Benjamin Simmons, all of a sudden he trashed. All of a sudden. Which is bizarre to me. But Simmons potentially could be on the block. Now, do I think he's going to be on the block? No, I don't. The 76ers say they want to keep him. But they also said we are willing to listen to some deals. They're willing to listen to some stuff to see what's going on with them. They want to see. So instead of saying the generic stuff, right? I want to try to be a little cornball, right? And I want to try to quote the great Conor McGregor. I want to try and predict these teams, right? I want to try to name out a couple of dark horses, right? First and foremost, the team I think should make a Hail Mary attempt at this guy. And they should desperately try it. And they need to. Miami Heat. I think the Heat need to. The reason I say that, if you now have Ben Simmons down there with Jimmy Butler, you pair them up, you got Ben Simmons as, you know, your primary ball handler, right? He can run the offense. Because, again, he's capable of running the offense. The only knock on him, is that he's in the fourth quarter, he's tentative, extremely tentative, and he doesn't have a jump shot. That's it. That's the only issues. If you take if you give him if you give him just a jump shot, dude's averaging 20. Let's just put that into, like, let's just keep that in mind, right? Let's just keep this got this. If you send him over to Miami, first and foremost, he reunites with Jimmy Butler. Now he's like Jimmy Butler, sort of, kind of, because when Jimmy Butler went over there, oh, he pressed him. He pressed him and he pressed him hard. Which I don't blame him, because Jimmy Butler is the type of dude that if you don't give him what he wants in terms of on the court, you need to give me 110%. If I see you laxing into it for 1 second, you won't hear my voice. That's kind of how he maneuvers, how he operates. Now remember, he did that, and then Ben Simmons went on a stretch where people were like, oh my God, Ben Simmons is a problem now. Maybe him pairing up with Jimmy again, maybe that could bring it up. Helps give this Miami Heat team a little more defense. And then it's Jose, no way you add two guys that can't shoot together because Jimmy can't either. The difference is Jimmy has a little bit of a mid-range game. Again, he's not the best three-point shooter in the world, and I won't disagree with that, but he does have a mid-range game. And now if you have that mid-range game, people still need to come out, which is still going to open the paint up for Ben. Because my thing is, wherever Ben goes, right, you probably should keep him on the floor, right? You should keep him on the floor during the fourth quarter, because he does have again, he does everything else. He does everything else. So my thing is, in the fourth quarter, what I would do, I'm running him at the four. I don't know why no one has thought of this yet. Maybe they tried it and it didn't work or something and they gave up, but why don't you just put him at the four? And then Jose said, to me, the best spot for him is the Warriors. That 110%, that would be the best spot for him, because now you have Steph and Clay, two guys who end up, which ironically was going to be the next team. Thank you for stealing my thunder. I hope you stub your toe. But let's might as well talk about it then. The Warriors. If you put him in there, and the thing is, if the Warriors trade him, right, Draymond got to be out. Draymond has to be out. He needs to, because, and this is gonna, maybe I'm going to sound a little off saying this, but you have in Ben Simmons, you have a young version of Draymond. Maybe I'm bugging. It's possible. But Draymond does all the little things right. So does Ben Simmons. Ben Simmons does all the little things right. That's what he does. That's kind of his thing. Like, his job is like, okay, you know, in terms of defense, the nuances of the game and all that stuff, like all those little things, I do that very well. And he needs to do that very well. Because again, in terms of offense, he's not this guy who's gonna pull up from 30. So he needs to do all those little things. Now, if you put him in there with Stephen Clay, now you got two shooters to open up the paint, he's gonna be driving every single time he wants a bucket, he's gonna be driving easy. And now there's no knock on him, because in terms of the fourth quarter, I mean, this dude get hot. Clay get hot. I will say this in my dying breath. There are the two guys people think is the best shooter of all time. It's Steph and Clay. I think Clay's number one. The reason I put Clay number one is because I've never seen anybody in the history of the game get hotter than him and then stay as hot as him. I've never seen that before. Never. So, you know, the Warriors would be the ideal spot for him. They would be. Again, if they do that, the trade is going to have to involve Draymond, which in terms of Ben going to the Warriors, that makes perfect sense. Now, Draymond heading over to the Phillies, it's going to be a little – I don't want to say it doesn't make sense, but it will be a little odd. There will be some confusion, because now if you have, you know, him in a 1-2 punch, I mean, I guess you could try to have him be the point forward, because there have been stretches where he has been the point forward. But my thing is, Draymond isn't the type of dude to be a point forward the whole game. Right? Like, he's not a guy who can just be, oh yeah, you got the one. Right? Like, when you're starting the game, if you got Draymond Green at the one, it's not going to work for you. It's just not. Like, you know, and no disrespect to him, he can run it for stretches, but if he's going to be your primary handler, They're not really gonna make it that far. Right? Yeah, 100%. Like we say, he's not that guy, pal. Trust me, you're not that guy. You know? Julian, you think they can do more if Ben Simmons goes to the Warriors and Clay's back? 100%. 100%. Because again, I'm gonna sound crazy saying this. I think Ben Simmons right now is better than Draymond. I really do. And if you don't think he's better, at the bare minimum, in the Golden State system, he will be better. 110%. Because the dude has phenomenal passing. The guy can, he's got phenomenal passing. He's got a great IQ. His court vision is like some of the top in the league. In terms of offense, his game fits better if all he has is sharpshooters around him. Now, he got two of the best sharpshooters, not only in the game, but in the history of the game in both Steph and Clay. If Ben Simmons cannot make it work in Golden State, I might have to revisit this and say that he's trash. I might have to revisit this. I might have to. Because the best place, Jose Roman, I 100% agree with you, in that system, he is better. Yeah, in that system, he's better because when he goes there, the best part about it, there's no pressure. None. He doesn't have to come in and be their savior. He doesn't have to come in and average 25. He doesn't even have to develop a jump shot. That's the beauty of him going to Golden State. He can come as he is. As he is. Last year he averaged 15. If he comes in, just gives him that 15. Open the floor for, because again, he's probably gonna average more. Because with Steph and Klay shooting, I mean you're gonna have to defend them. Even with and ready here, the best part about it, with Klay coming back from the two injuries, guess what? Now he doesn't have to be that guy to guard everybody. See, for years, Klay has been the ball stopper on that team. He's like, who's the best player? LeBron, I got LeBron. KD, I got KD. It's James, I got James. He's always been like that. With the injuries, I don't know if he can continue to be the guy. Because it's not just one. It's two. It's the ACL and the Achilles. It's two. But guess what? You get Ben Simmons in there. Now Ben Simmons can take that role. Now he can go ahead and guard the best player. Because he's talented enough to do that. He can out guard the best player. Like. Yep, and again, Jose Roman, it allows Curry and Klay to play more off-ball. It's overpowered. And dare I say, if they get Ben Simmons, they could potentially do better. Golden State could potentially do better than they did when they had Kevin Durant. Not in terms of talent, but in terms of performance, because now you got two of the best shooters. Like you said, Jose, they're off-ball. Off-ball. And look, Steph already is slippery. He already slippery. The dude already, bro, this dude be sneaking through holes, bro, like he covered in butter. And the guy barely sweats. Now imagine with a guy with Ben Simmons who would know instinct, like his instinct is the instant his shoulder grazes, like begins to graze his back, that's when I throw the ball. Imagine if you have a guy with that anticipation. Not only are they gonna be getting some clean threes, they're gonna be getting some opportunities at the free throw line. That's the beauty of Ben Simmons. And people out here trying to say he's bad. That's crazy. To me, that's wild. But Golden State is definitely the number one spot that he should go to. Because not only does he go there, and not only is there no pressure for him. Imagine if he wins a ring in the West before Joel Embiid does. Now the conversation changed completely. Now the conversation changed 110%. Now instead of people being like, oh my God, bro, of course it's Joel Embiid. Now people are going to go, maybe we should have stuck with Ben Simmons. That's going to be a whole separate. That's going to open up a can of worms. That's going to be utterly hilarious to me. Anyway, it'll be funny for me. It'll be funny for me. Now this team, the final team I'm gonna throw out there. This one is kind of what I call the long shot of long shots, right? I don't think this is going to happen at all. But I want to have a little bit of fun because this is a team that, frankly, you know, will work. At least for me, anyway. The Toronto Raptors. Say that one more time. The Toronto Raptors. Now, before, I didn't know I'm going to get canceled because, you know, I'm an idiot. But just bear with me, right? If you turn to the Toronto Raptors, right, and you get this guy, I don't know if anyone ever heard of him. I mean, he kind of is a nobody. Fred VanVleet. If you get him, pair him with Joel Embiid, do you know what that would kind of look like? I don't know, a Jokic and Jamal Murray tandem? I don't know about anybody else. Maybe it's just me. But I feel like Fred VanVleet, if you pair him up with Joel Embiid, we got a whole nother ballgame going on. And honestly, if they do something like that, this Sixers team would be dangerous. Because now not only you have a guy, because again, like I'm pretty sure everyone in the moms has said this. The point guard that you need on the 76ers needs to be a guy who has some passing, some IQ, and can shoot. I just described Fred VanVleet. That's what I just described. The guy, and again, he's crafty. He's low-key crafty with the ball. Like when people see him play, he's kind of like, okay, yeah, cool. He's a book. No, the dude is very crafty. He can score from wherever from the three-point line in, he score from wherever he wants. He can score. He's great at the free throw line. It's going to open up for Joel Embiid. And again, in clutch time, dude has no problem shooting. He got no problem shooting at all, which is great because, again, Joel Embiid can dominate three quarters. Fourth quarter time, yo, give it to Fred. Let Fred do his thing. Give Joel Embiid some rest. And like I said, the thing about Fred VanVleet, if he can penetrate, you follow him. You got to be careful because if you follow him, he can make his free throw. To me, and then if you send Ben Simmons over, if you send Ben Simmons over to Toronto, I don't think that's bad. I think Ben Simmons immediately makes their defense better. And if this team believes in Pascal Siakam, or they do that and they can flip Ben Simmons immediately too. Toronto Raptors still have some, and again, with the thing about the 76ers, when they trade Ben Simmons, they want something to help them now. If the Toronto Raptors trade them, they want something that, yeah, if they can, I'm not sure, but we're more looking for the draft. So they could still work with some stuff that they, you know what I mean? The Toronto Raptors could still make some moves with them. But obviously, there's just no debate. Obviously, the number one place he should go to is Golden State. But I also do think Miami Heat should be on the phone. I do think so. I think that Tatum could still kind of work. Like Jose said, Jimmy Butler's not a great three-point shooter. That's fine, but he still has a decent mid-range shot, enough for you to have to respect him, which will kind of open the paint. So that way, in those crucial moments, Ben Simmons plays the floor. That way, you still kind of have him on the floor. And then just a dark horse, maybe, you know, just me reaching a little bit. I see Toronto. If they could get Fred VanVleet, I feel like that would be a great update. I don't want to say upgrade because I personally think Ben Simmons is better. But for that system, you just need a point guard who can score and does all the other things okay. And Fred VanVleet does that. So I think in that system, I think it'll work out for all parties involved. But we are now going to bring up Pride's Primetime Game to Watch, presented by Rocky Hill Accountants. With over 35 years of combined experience, Rocky Hill Accountants are the experts you need to handle all your accounting financial needs. Let experienced experts handle your financials and let them know your boy Pride sent you. So, let's just get right into it. Bucks, Hawks, you need to watch this game. This is the game that they're 1-1 first game in Atlanta. This is the game. This is the game to see who's really – because look, man. I think the Bucks are going to win. I do. Kind of. Sort of. Maybe. I don't know. The thing is, on paper, Bucks are more talented. They really are. But it's which Bucks team are you going to get? Are you going to get the Bucks team that thinks, oh, yeah, bro, we're the second coming of Golden State? Is that the Bucks team we're going to get? Or are we going to get the Bucks team that's like, look, bro, we're going to lock it down? Game one, it worked out for them. Now, game two, they held it down. Trae Young only dropped 15. They held him down. Now, and they held everybody else down, too. If the Bucks team continue, listen, I'm going to put it to you this way. If this Bucks team focuses on defense, say it one more time. If this Bucks team focuses on defense and they go, you know what, our defense is our bread and butter, we're going to go back to it, 4-1. 100%. 4-1. Now, I think this game is going to go 7. Why do I think it's going to go 7? Because I think it's going to be a couple games where the Bucks are going to revert back to the, oh, yeah, we can outscore anybody thing. Then when they do that and they forget about defense, that's when the Hawks are going to be like, well, don't mind if I do. So that's kind of the mentality. Now, if they focus on defense and they go, yo, defense brought us here, you dance with what brought you there. I think that's the same. If they focus on their defense, this is gonna be a gentleman. This is gonna be a gentleman. The Hawks will get a participation award. But again, that's if. We need to see, is Trae Young gonna bounce back from the game that he had game? We all know Giannis is gonna do his thing. Chris Middleton, I don't want to say he hasn't been a show. I don't want to say he's been a no show, but you know, no one knows where he at. Can Drew Holiday continue the pace he's on? Is that possible? But there's a lot of questions that, frankly, I'm interested in. I really am, and mind you, I'm more interested because I feel like the showdown I low-key want to see. I do kind of want to see the Bucks make the finals, but there is something about Trae Young versus Devin Booker on that stage that, like, makes me giggle. Like, it makes me go, woo, you know? Like, it makes me kind of want to go, you know, maybe this will be a good one. Maybe, you know? So, this right here is a very pivotal game. Because we're going to see. The Hawks need to make adjustments. And we're going to see if the Bucks are going to make adjustments. Julian Rodriguez says, on God, I was going to say that. Yeah, I mean. And it's crazy. I wasn't even thinking about it until a few shows back. I believe on Starter Pod Sports, JJ, he said, you know, he said something about that, about them playing. And when he said that, I kind of took a step back and I really was thinking. I was like, you know what? That would actually be good. I would actually like that. Joe Rodriguez said they're both phenomenal players. Yes, they are. They are. I like both of them. I think they're both good players. I think on the final stage, especially how they've both been playing up to this point, I think it'll be a banger. I still got the Suns, but I still think it'll be a banger. But for this one, game three, Milwaukee Bucks. It's the Milwaukee Bucks and Atlanta Hawks. This is gonna be the first game in Atlanta, right? Because some people, I ain't snitching out names. I ain't saying no names, JJ. But they don't think that the Bucks will do well in Atlanta, right? They don't think so. I beg to differ. I think the Bucks will handle it. I think they'll do good enough as long as they focus on defense. I might go on a limb. Maybe I'm just being a cornball. I think this is me being a little cornball because I did pick the Bucks and I do hope they win because they are the better team. I'm gonna take the Bucks. I'll take the Bucks, 106-89. I think Drew Holiday, I think he cracked the code. I think game two, he understood, bro, look, man, game one happened. In his mind, he's probably thinking he just got hot. Game two, I held him to 15. If you can hold Trae Young to 20, you're fine. And I think Drew Holiday can do that. I think he can. My thing is, what I would do, Drew Holiday's doing that. You need Chris Middleton to show up. And I believe Chris Middleton, I think tonight he's showing up. I believe so. I think it's gonna be double digits. I think Bucks are winning by double digits. Thank God, right? Thank God we're not gonna talk about this tomorrow because if the Hawks win, I got a lot of explaining to do, right? So I'm hoping the Bucks win. Again, I got double digits. I just don't think Atlanta is, and I'm not talking about the team, I'm talking about the building and the court. I don't think it's as rowdy as everyone wants it to be. I don't know. It's just, yeah, they're rowdy in the playoffs, but so is New York. New York was dumb rowdy. And it didn't help them. Philly was dumb rowdy. But like Philly and New York were like hotter crowds than Atlanta. You know, so it's like I just don't see this whole thing with like the Atlanta team, the Atlanta fan base being so hot and so passionate, and oh my God, they're gonna have a great effect. I don't see it like that. So I got the Bucks. It's still gonna be a great game either way. So it's definitely a game you guys need to pay attention to, because dare I say, whoever wins this game, I'm being corny, but whoever wins this game is gonna win the series. That's how pivotal I feel like this game is, because this game right now, it's like Hawks need to make adjustments, and the Bucks might need to make some on the fly. So it's gonna come down to who can make the adjustments cleaner. That's what it's gonna come down to. I think the Bucks have a better chance at that. So I got Bucks by double digits, so they take the 2-1 lead. But that's enough for me. It's been your boy Pride, man. It's fun. It's fun hanging out with y'all. It really is. 100%. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Stir the Pot Sports. We'll be posting all types of stuff there in terms of news and memes. Feel free to check it out. Follow us on Twitter, ran by your boy at Stir the Pot Sport, and on Twitch, twitch.tv/CloverCrestMedia. Check out our website. Look, boy JJ, he be doing too much work on it. And if y'all don't check it, bro, you're making a man slave for nothing, bro. So please do me a favor. For your boy one time, check it out. www.CloverCrestMedia.com/StirThePotSports. And we on Spotify. If you guys do not download it, I will come through your phone and I will do something to you. Do you hear me? Please download Spotify, CMG Sports, and you will see the beautiful logo, Stir the Pot Sports. You'll see it right there. You can't miss it. It's beautiful. I mean, look at it. You'll see it right there. It's your boy Pride. I appreciate y'all spending some time with me. Look, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays. If you can't get enough of this space here, Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, Stir the Pot Sports at 6. We there. I'll be here every single Sunday at 11. I appreciate y'all spending some time with me. Be safe, and I'll see you all real soon. Peace.
He is not, and Tatis drives one to deep left field. He drives one to the moon. High, deep, and very good. Brady goes for the deep shot. He's got a touchdown.
But a good wingspan.
And a good move. Penalty set.